Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com, Amazon, and select retailers nationwide.
Trust no one and accuse everyone. And Who's the Bad Guy? The official Barstool Sports social deduction game from the brilliant mind of Nick Tirrani. In what's quickly becoming the most popular new party game around, players are secretly assigned unique roles, with the good guys trying to expose the bad guys and the bad guys doing everything they can to stay hidden. Each game unfolds under alternating day and night phases, with roles like the cool chick, the shy guy, the gambler, El Presidente, the mentalist, the planner, the funny guy, and more. Every round is unpredictable, chaotic, and ridiculously fun. Who's the Bad Guy is great for parties, pre-games, family gatherings, or groups who just love deception-based games. Game night will never be the same. Shop now on Walmart.com.
On this episode of Project Big Screen, we have Project Hail Mary, one of the biggest movies of the year. We're going to rank top 10 space movies and talk about the Dune Part 3 trailer, as well as the Spider-Man Brand New Day trailer, all that and more coming up on Project Big Screen. All right, Project Big Screen, episode 25. We are coming close to the end of March, kind of crazy. And we have a big one. I would say the first real big movie of the year. And one bigger than, typically around this time when you say big, it's like, okay, we're starting to ramp up. No, this is going to be one of the biggest movies of the year by the end of it. We'll eventually get dwarfed because we're in one of the craziest movie years for event movies we've seen in, I don't know, would you guys say 20 years? Would you say this, is it crazy to say this century? I mean, the event movies coming out this year are kind of nuts.
We're eating good. That's all I got to say.
This is a big one, though.
This is living up to the hype, though. Like 2026 coming in, like so far, so good. Good Lord.
Kirk, welcome back, though. Good to see you.
Oh, hello. Yes, yes. How's it going?
Good movie to come back for, obviously. You know, you could have came back for The Bride We Offered.
Yeah, I did finally see it.
The Mother Bride.
Yeah. So, yeah, back for Project Hail Mary. Also, with Kirk back, we're going to do in the next, I think, week or two, we're going to start up our – and which I'm actually – this works out perfect because now we have the context of the Oscars, our top 50 movies of the century too, which I'm very excited about. We had a big vote on that. Very interesting list. So we'll start doing that in the next few weeks. And not our competitors are very enjoyable podcasts, but unlike our competitors, we will not take a year to reveal the whole list. We'll note that. we will do it in like 4 weeks.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. Project Hail Mary, though, let's start out with it. We also have top 10 space movies this week. We're going to focus on just Hail Mary this week. Next week's not a very heavy week, so we'll do like Ready or Not 2 then next week. But this movie deserves kind of its own shine. And we have some pretty huge trailers to talk about, obviously, Dune and Spider-Man Brand New Day. Science teacher Rylan Grace, which call him Grace for the sake of this because that's what they call him the whole movie, wakes up on a spaceship light years from home with no recollection of who he is or how he got there. As his memory returns, he begins to uncover his mission, solve the riddle of the mysterious substance causing the sun to die out. He must call on his scientific knowledge and unorthodox ideas to save everything on Earth from extinction, but an unexpected friendship means he may not have to do it alone. If you've seen the trailer, you know exactly what happens here in terms of like who he meets. They do not hide it in the trailers. And the second trailer that came out essentially doesn't hide anything. So if you haven't seen the trailer, it's good for you because that probably makes the movie more enjoyable. Long movie, 2 hours and 36 minutes. Long might be the wrong word, but it's definitely up there. Phil Lord and Chris Miller directing. They produced recently the Spider-Verse movies. Still producing that third one, which seems to be taking decades to come out. They also directed 22 Jump Street, Lego Movie, 21 Jump Street, and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. This is based on the book Project Hail Mary, by Andy Weir, who also did The Martian. I did another movie called another book called Artemis, which Phil Lord and Chris Miller also are supposed to direct.
Oh, yeah.
Though they have not gotten around to that. They've sent the press tour here that they will still be directing it. Ryan Gosling, Sandra Hüller, who had a couple Oscar nominations and some big movies a few years back. Lionel Boyce, Ken Leong, and Milana Weintraub, excuse me. Projected to make, though this is the Ryan Gosling movie. This is Ryan Gosling. Projected to make $80 million at the domestic box office opening weekend, which would be the second highest domestic start ever for a non-franchise behind only Oppenheimer. And I was reading Variety said that there is a small chance it does eclipse Oppenheimer. It doesn't need much more. It's going to fall just behind it. 95-96 split Rotten Tomatoes. It is beloved by everybody. 8.5 IMDb, 77 Metacritic, Letterboxd 4.4. Kirk, well, why don't you go first? What did you think of Project? And you're also, I believe you're the only one on here who's read the book.
Yeah.
Hold up.
Okay.
You read it?
Yeah. Years ago.
Okay. So we have multiple book readers. There was something recently where no one read the book. I forget what it was, though.
Oh, The Bride, obviously. Yeah, none of us are.
Yeah.
Big Frank.
I'll remember what it is, and I'll interrupt at some point. There was something recently no one had read the book, and I know people got mad at us. But okay, so we have multiple book readers, which I feel like you add some context for sure. Mm-hmm. Kirk, what did you think? What did you rate it?
Well, you said beloved by everybody, and I will say not beloved by everybody.
Didn't work for me.
What?
And I saw that repulsive idiot spinning around and telling me if I don't love this movie, I'm not a human being.
That's true.
I don't even know what that means. I hate when people do that. It's so aggravating. I'm not a human being if I don't love this movie.
No, there's something for everyone in this movie.
I have a heart. I have a brain. I walk around. I urinate. I'm a human being. You know. So here's the thing. I liked a lot of it. The Martian I really like. Ridley Scott directed The Martian. He directed a movie that I think we'll probably talk about later, also set in space. The guys who directed this directed Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and 21 Jump Street. I like those movies. They're fine. But that sensibility to me did not work for this kind of movie. Everything is like that joke that is in a Marvel trailer, just over and over and over and over and over again. It was that sense of humor, which is fine. Like, if people like it, and by the way, I'm clearly in the very heavy minority here. Everyone loves this movie. I'm thrilled. The theaters were packed. Clemmer always says movies are dead in January and February. The box office is the world's over. The theater was packed. People were crying. People were laughing. People were hugging each other. They loved Rocky. Fantastic. When everything is a joke, it to me kind of wears out. I liked the first ending of the movie. I didn't like the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh endings of the movie as much as the first ending of the movie. To me, when you put something or somebody in peril and you put an audience through the ringer and then you do it again in the exact same sort of stakes 20 minutes later and we go through it again, that's not good. If the third act of the movie isn't good, the movie doesn't work for me. So I'm going to have to take a hit on this one. I'm sure I'm going to be very wrong. It's going to get a million nominations. Gosling, movie, directors, a ton of below the line stuff. It's going to make The Martian, I think, made $650 worldwide. This will make more than that. And it's going to become like this beloved. People are saying it's better than The Martian. I think they're nuts. I don't think they're humans if they think that. So to me, ultimately, I'll give it a 72.
Okay. 72. I definitely, in context of The Martian, I won't say my score yet. I like this movie a lot. I think The Martian is a good step up.
Feel higher to me in The Martian. They just do. This to me feels like a goofy, borderline SNL, kind of like right above an SNL sketch the whole time with Gosling, who I like, but he's a mugger. He's a mugger. Like, he's a goofball, which is totally fine. But, you know, yeah, 70. I'll stay at 72. The more I talk, the lower it'll go. So 72.
Okay, Ken Jack, what'd you give it?
So I liked it quite a bit, and I think that part of the sensibility that I think Kirk doesn't like is at least what I've found faithful to the book. Like, in the book, I feel like it's very goofy. Like it's very, very, like, in the vein of what they go for within the scope of the movie, but I could see how that doesn't translate completely in different levels. But to me, anyway, I do think it was kind of an achievement for a few different reasons. The first being that I do think, again, very good adaptation that trims very wisely while keeping the emphasis on the core of the story, at least from the book. The second being that I think Gosling was a really good fit, because you have to carry such a huge load in this movie where it's essentially, it's just you. even like in within the scope of the movie, it's just him. Within the acting perspective, he's acting up against puppets. There's a lot of just a load is on him. And even in like The Martian, it's a team effort. Like you're cutting back and forth between Damon, who's obviously the focus, but you have at least that you could share the load with like Jessica Chastain, Jeff Daniels, like all these other actors. But in this, it was just him. And I think he did a really good job. And I think it's a really awesome, grand feeling blockbuster. Like it has the Lord and Miller comedic touch, which I would, again, totally understand if that's not, that doesn't work for everybody else. But the production value, the sets, the Greg Fraser cinematography, like that's all like Oscar level stuff to me. And that, I would be shocked, regardless of whatever else feels about it. Like I would be shocked if this is not getting like below the line stuff when we get into this time next year. I loved it. On top of that, the IMAX experience was one of my favorite in years. Like, not to be corny, like, me and Clem are at the same theater. Like, there's this big, grand, we'll talk about the scene later, big, grand IMAX scene. And, like, it's door-busting. And, like, I look over at the crowd. The crowd is all oohing and aahing and staring at the screen. And it's a big, packed house. And I'm like, that's what it's about, man. That's movies right there. And I love that feeling in the theater again. I feel like it's been a while for that. And I really enjoyed it. For me, 90 out of 100.
Also worth noting, your screening, Ryan Gosling did walk into the theater and say hello to everyone, which is it's pretty cool. There's a video of it that was posted, and you just see Clemmer with the biggest soy face as Ryan. He's like,
it's a handsome guy.
That's a benefit of sitting in the seat you sit in. So sorry, give your score again, Ken Jack, one more time.
90.
90. Okay. Yeah, I enjoy this movie quite a bit. I did like it. My big complaint on this, and we'll get more into this in spoilers as well, is that I hate doing the comp to The Martian because I don't like doing the one-to-one comp, but it does feel a little relevant here just to give context to how I feel. The one thing that this was missing was just that serious, like, toned, like, gut punch moment. And I don't know if it was because there were so many endings here, because it does suffer from having what feels like a few too many endings. Where you're kind of like, okay, like I got it. Like, oh, I got to go again on this. Okay. And it kind of cheapens that a little bit for me. We're like The Martian, and like, there's definitely some tearjerker moments here, but The Martian, man, when he's in fucking space and he's doing the Rocky, doing the Iron Man thing, which again, that's like, you can have that moment of humor too and still land a serious moment. Like when he says like, I'm going to be like Iron Man like that. I mean, every time I watch The Martian, I well up a little bit. It's like, oh, that's an incredible moment. I just never, and this never quite got to that for me. I did like it quite a bit. I gave it an 89. But it, the first half I thought really had me, and the second half it just sort of never quite, like it landed the plane, but it was a little bit of a bumpy landing, even though I was satisfied with the landing. It just didn't hit in the way that I thought it could have, given to where it was going. Because I like Gosling. I like The Rock. I shouldn't say The Rock. People think I'm talking about fucking Dwayne Johnson. I like Rocky. It looks incredible. It looks as practical of a movie as you could imagine in deep space. Like there's so many little things that you're just like, wow, that looks fucking unbelievable. Some of like them looking through certain light and seeing particles and things. It looks incredible. Even the way that Rocky sees Grace, like how his vision of him is, thought that was all well done. That could have been terrible and goofy if it was not like seamlessly integrated. So I like that. I like Sandra Hüller. I liked her scene. Her singing scene kind of gave it like that levity and like humanizing thing that I wish there was a little more of towards the end. And I think it just kind of got bogged down by a few too many innings. Really enjoyed it. 89. I might like it more a second time I see it, but that's where I land at it right now. We can definitely talk more about the multiple endings thing is kind of where if you break one way of like enjoying it or liking it and really thinking it's fantastic. Clemmer, what did you give it?
I love this movie.
Ryan Gosling?
What's that?
Did you dap up Ryan Gosling?
I did not. I did not dap up Ryan Gosling. I love this movie. I love this movie so much. I think this is a movie that will have crazy legs. Like, people watch this movie 50 years from now. Because I think it's going to age really well because the themes of friendship and bravery are kind of eternal. I thought Ryan Gosling was perfect here because I think you need someone who is a little goofy. When you're just with him, kind of like what Ken Jack was saying, where even in The Martian, the Martian comp is tough because The Martian's a great, like, you're comparing a great movie to a great movie. That's always tough, I think. And somewhat unfair to both movies. On its own, this movie's fantastic. And Gosling works for me because you need someone who's a little, like, bigger or goofier than kind of, like, you know, an average person just because you're with that one person the whole time. That's why I think Gosling's really great in this specific role, especially. I loved Rocky. This movie just has so much heart. And I to go back to what I said about our initial review, was like, I think this is someone, you could be 8 years old, you could be 88. It's something for everybody here. I'm kind of shocked Kirk didn't like it as much as he said. Because I can't imagine anyone walking out of this movie and not loving it. I just think there's so much here that is universal, that is for everyone. I loved how it looked. You know, talk about Warren Miller. They did a show on Fox called Last Man on Earth with Will Forte. Mm-hmm. And that deals with some of the same themes of kind of just like being alone, obviously, and things like that.
I really enjoy that show.
I love that show.
Like, people don't talk about it enough anymore.
And yeah, it's kind of been the loss, but it's a really good show. And I think compared to anything else they've done, this is most similar to that. I don't know. I loved the practical effects. I loved how it looked. I loved how it sounded. Seeing it in the IMAX was incredible. But I think I'm going to try to see it on a 9M IMAX theater this week. And kind of see, I'm guessing it still hits because the theme.
Yeah, I don't think that you're gonna like it any less. I mean, I saw it on IMAX. I see it still looks great on a non IMAX.
I'm giving this a 97. I love this.
Whoa!
Movie. Wow, that's really that's 5 stars for
Jesus
you.
Jesus fucking Christ!
4.5.
What?
97.
I only get like 5 stars, like 100. Like that's
so. Me. This is in like all time territory for you. Like this is one of the all time great science fiction movies.
What else has a 97 rating? Like what are we talking about?
The only movie I've seen this decade I like more is Oppenheimer.
Okay, what other movies have you given the 97? Like your what else is on the 97 list?
Give me 30 seconds and I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Great Kentucky team 97.
They were good.
Comparable movies are Truman Show, Untouchables.
Oh, God, you're an asshole.
12 Years a Slave, The Town.
Forget it. I'm sorry. That's my fault. I'm sorry I asked. I accept responsibility.
Anytime 12 Years a Slave is on TNT, Clemmer can't turn it off.
Oh, like, Clemmer can't.
I got to see through to the end.
Great movie. Just
when Fassbender showed up at the premiere, he was so excited.
I loved Project Hammer. I loved
character. Can I branch off one thing? Because Gooch, then you'll have you go next.
Yeah.
The only thing that I've seen that you just said, Clemmer, that I don't totally get is I've seen, like, I think The Martian is like there's almost like an excuse made for this a little bit. Again, I like this movie about it being for everyone, being like kind of juvenile humor in some spaces and being maybe for, like, I think The Martian is. Is there anything in The Martian that doesn't qualify as kind of similar, though? Like, The Martian is the same exact thing, right? I mean, it is for everyone.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Than The Martian, though?
I like this better than The Martian. I did like this a little better than The Martian. I'm going to do a Martian rewatch, so I haven't seen it in a couple of years.
There's definitely
Martian's
more.
Fantastic. Martian's my favorite Ridley Scott movie. Fantastic.
Would you say there's more humor in this? Because there's still a lot of really silly moments in The Martian.
There's just a lot of, like, it's just a lot, every, you know.
True, it is a comedy.
Yeah, and he's got, I mean, he has a sidekick. I mean,
you know, yeah, got, the good review guys, working with, you know. The good review guys double toasted. They're like, The Martian, he's doing science and he's planting things, and this one is Ryan Gosling with a Muppet in space.
Yeah, I mean,
it's true.
That's part of it, too. And I'm not sure if you would agree with this, too, because you guys read it. Like, I feel like the tone of the book matches the tone of this. Like, I haven't read The Martian yet, but I feel like The Martian, like, was going for something different than the book, at least the book.
The book is light, but I think the movie was lighter. Like, for example, in the book, for example, early on, or he gets really emotional a bunch of times and cries about the people he went up there with. And in the movie, he kind of tries to, but it doesn't. The pilots have no impact on me watching. They didn't land that in the movie. He gives this long speech about the guy who beat up Junior in The Sopranos, Clemmer. What's his name?
Henry Young, right?
And he's crying, and he's like, you seem like, and I'm like, it didn't land for me at all. In the book, though, it did. So that's kind of, but you're right. The book is, like, I can see why they chose these guys why Gosling wanted these guys to make this movie, for sure, because it is light. I do get that.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with you. You get a lot more context within the book, and that's like maybe my bigger complaint. You have to abridge a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely.
For the sake of the movie, but you get a lot more of the stakes for the human characters, which you don't really get. Same thing with Strat, like Sandra Hewlett's character, you get a lot more context for, but you got to cut stuff somewhere. I'd watch a 3-hour cut of this movie, though. I did Flew.
Yeah, I didn't feel the in terms, like, I know I said like the endings thing, but I didn't feel too much at all. Gooch, what did you give it?
The physical release will have 3 extra endings on it. Don't worry.
Until the Martian of the extended. Actually, the one behind me is the extended Martian.
I really, really like this movie. I really like the book, and I think this is about as good of an adaptation for a sci-fi book as you can do, just in terms of bringing the science to life on screen. And there are a lot of very obvious comparisons, The Martian being one of them, 2001, obviously kind of grandfather of them all. E.T., very clearly with Rocky, Close Encounters is very directly referenced at one point. But the movie I really thought of, and I've seen it twice now, and the second time the movie I really thought of was Jurassic Park. And I don't think it's anywhere close as good as Jurassic Park, but it nails combining movie-making magic with a real reverence for science and making science look cool. And I can't imagine what it feels like to be a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old, an 8-year-old sitting in that audience watching that on the big screen. It would blow my mind at that age. It really would. Now, there are problems here that I have, and I had it in the book. There's just a real thinness to the character of Rylan Grace. He's basically a cardboard cutout of a character. Like, there's a point in the movie where he references a past relationship, and you're like, who the fuck cares? Like, this is the first I'm hearing about that. And a lot of the things with Rylan Grace's character just feel empty. But I'm able to look past that, I think. And I think most people are able to look past that because of the work that Lord and Miller and Greg Fraser did in terms of just the visuals. They just knock you away. And it keeps moving and it keeps moving. It moves quickly for a 2.5-hour movie all the way up until the end. I would agree with Kirk. The book has the same problem. It just ends, yep, and then it ends again. Yep. And it really can't pick the right ending or where to climax in the third act. But
that wasn't, like, a big question. It was like, is that a book thing or a movie thing? But it sounds like a both thing.
It's a book thing. I don't care for that ending, and we'll talk about it here in a minute. But other than that, like, this is, like, in terms of big productions, like, this is what they should look like. I hope this absolutely does gangbusters at the box office, and it sounds like it will, because this is a movie that people can take lessons from. Because when you build a world like this that people want to go and see over and over and over again, it just makes the biggest difference. Like, sitting there and watching that, I can't imagine how, like, Kathleen Kennedy, the Disney board, feel watching that and seeing, like, what they can do with that budget, and then seeing what they have been putting out. Like, it's not even on the same planet. So I'm at an 85 out of 100. I have my complaints, but I'm able to look past so much of it because, good Lord, what an experience in the theater.
Yeah, we'll talk about spoilers now. We'll talk about the ending, where everyone lands on the ending. The main ending. So just a heads up, if you don't want it spoiled, pausing for a second. The end of the movie, there's multiple sort of, like, fake out endings. He saves Rocky. Rocky saves him. He saves Rocky. He goes back to get him because he realized that there's an issue with the thing that they discovered. It's eating through his fuel. And then his Rocky ship is made out of everything that's fueling his ship. So it's like, you know, he's going to just die in space. So he goes back to save him, and then he ends up on his planet. He sacrifices himself, essentially, sort of, because he's not dead, and sends all his shit back to all the stuff that they discovered back to Earth. And then he ends up living on Rocky's planet, and they build him this big dome, and he's teaching these little rock kids, I guess, like little, like, small rock, yeah, children.
Yep.
Imagine if there was nothing goofy in the movie until that final moment. Imagine how just abrasive if it was, like, dead serious, and these rocks, like, jumping up and down. So that's kind of the ending. So I guess Ken Jack, Kirk, Gooch, you've read did that end how you envisioned it from the book? Is that how it looked? Is that, like, how you kind of pictured it? What do you think of the ending?
Let me ask you, Ken Jack and Gooch, I haven't read the book in a long time. It doesn't matter, I guess, but as I recall, he aged as well. Like, didn't he have a cane at the end of the?
Yeah, yes. It's okay. Like 1.5 times gravity on that planet, so he's, like, right, hunched over, and I think he's aged up. Yeah.
Which is probably the right move, honestly, not doing that. Like, that would have just been weird.
Because she's aged up. Cassandra Holler's aged up.
Yeah, you see her. You don't even see
that in the book. They don't tell you. Like, he doesn't find out anything about what happened on Earth. Like, he
really?
Which I think is a good move for the movie, honestly. Because in the book, you want that.
Yeah, in the book you want to definitely want to. I think he finds out through the scientist, like, Rocky, when you flash forward to him on the planet for the first time, like, Rocky comes up and tells him, like, hey, our scientists found out that the sun on Earth is regular output again. So that's the first time he finds out that Earth was saved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like that change because it kind of, that decision in the book kind of undercuts his sacrifice, like kind of what it is. Yeah.
Right. Right. But I look at it as, you know, you get in Rocky, you know, Rocky saves him. Rocky almost dies. Everyone's emotional. People in the theater are crying. He then lives. They do the thing where they walk away. I know watching, having read the book and just being a human being watching a movie, there's no fucking way that Rocky and Grace are going to be apart at the end of the movie. And then I remembered, they're going to have to do this again. So he's going back to Earth and he's like, oh, wait a minute. He's going to burn up. So he goes and saves him again. And he's waiting and he's like upset again, crying that Rocky might die. And I'm watching it knowing there's no fucking way they're killing Rocky. So I don't know what the solution is to slice that in half. But you have to do that. There can only be one of those. There can't be two. And then the thing at the end where he's on that planet, that's fine. That doesn't really bother me. But I hate doing it twice. It makes no sense from a storytelling, from a dramatic perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd also add, how did you all feel as the non-book readers about the amnesia kind of framing of the movie? Because it's something that it's bearable, but it does feel, in lesser hands, it's completely hacky. I'll put it that way.
It took a long time with the book, too. I mean, a pretty good...
Yes.
Yeah, it took a long time for him to get his memory back in the book.
It was just tests, and like he couldn't even move, right? Because it takes 2+2 to start the movie.
Time is, everything takes a lot longer in the book. Like every single action takes like weeks within the scope of the book. They consolidate that a lot and don't just tell you time in general. Which I think
you do deal with that obviously. And like, I mean, that's just like anything like this where they're not finding ways to have like, oh, we have time accelerator ship. You know, if they're keeping it as. In The Martian deals with it, right? As realistic as possible. It's like, you know, I always wish they would hammer home the time a little more on the nose, because like it is like kind of like a shocking thing to see when you're like, oh my god, 17 fucking years, like stuff like that, like 4 years to get, like you just like when the years stack up and the months are like, oh my god. That's always been like my one little complaint about The Martian. Like if you ever like read The Martian timeline of like how long it, like it's like holy fuck, it's like they really turn, like when they turn the ship around in The Martian, that's like one moment where like I know they sell it and they're like, hey, we're adding 3 more years, but like I don't know, it doesn't hit until you're looking at it, you're like, oh my god, they added years back on just to go get him. So yeah, this one I didn't have an issue with the way the storytelling worked. They also did a very nice job in terms of the aspect ratio in terms of flashbacks and present day. Cool. I think that's a very good use of that. And not just we've seen good uses of IMAX and things, but you know, a lot of times with the aspect ratio change, it just changes and doesn't have rhyme or reason. So other than the fact that obviously you're just looking at a different aspect ratio. So I thought that was used well here, but I thought it was a little long to kind of get to why he wasn't, cause I was obviously confused. I'm like, they're going to clearly explain this, but it didn't click right away, I guess, for me. Is that how the book opens too, with him?
Yes. Yeah.
Being like, oh shit, where
but it is, I would say, much less, and it's one of the big changes from the book. I say the book opens in a much darker tone. Like the way the movie opens, it's played very comedically, like Ryan Gosling. Playful. I mean, you have Ryan Gosling, so use him, like making those noises and, you know, those yelps.
He's getting like a rectal tube shoved out of his ass in the book. Like it's bleak, and he's like, what the fuck is going on? Like it's not as funny. But yeah, I think the playful tone, I think it definitely, like you were just saying, when you got Gosling, I think you got to go for that, not as serious.
I didn't mind the framing device of having it take a long time to get his memory back. It didn't bother me, and I thought it was effective storytelling. But I think it's also good to kind of jump back, kind of like The Martian, where you jump back and you are seeing him with other people. You know, just like in The Martian, you're seeing other people work on this plan. Maybe it would have been, if you just had him just on the ship entirely by himself, that might have been a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big changes, too, from the book is, like, in the book, you do get just so much more just sort of context or character building for these other crew members. And so, like, it feels worse when you learn about, like, how they died and, like, the big explosion and stuff like that. Like, you feel bad because Gosling, like, Grace is training these people, like, every single day. And, like, he, like, gets to know them, gets to like them. And I do feel like that it's just something, like, you got to cut, like, time-wise. You're already at 2.5 hours. I get it. But it definitely would make that stuff more of a gut punch for sure.
I guess the test for me was emotionally – was I super invested or not, is the scene where she tells him, like, look, you're in the movie, like, you're doing this. We're going to put you in a coma right now. And he kind of runs away. And I'm like, it did not click for me. I felt like the movie was sort of so light in tone that when things like that happen, and they're supposed to be dramatic, it just didn't click. But I was, again, I'm on an island. Like, the audience was very into it.
See, I would agree with you. The parts in space that are dramatic really fall flat for me. But I think the moments with Sandra Hüller are, like, kind of the highlights
she's great.
Of the movie. Yeah.
Yes, like, I agree. I think I wish there had been significantly more focus. I personally loved the karaoke scene of that. That happened in the book. I assume a different song, because I don't think Sign of the Times is out by Harry Styles. But
no. No, did she sing karaoke in the bar in the movie? I don't even remember.
I don't think that's the book.
Right?
I liked it. It subverted character expectations. It kind of gave a humanizing. Like, I liked that. And I just, that was, I just wish there was a little more of that to kind of give that just a different angle of someone, you know, outside of just his character. Because then the other stuff with the other, you know, astronauts or whatever, just that was my, I guess, other than the ending thing, my big complaint is just never hit for me. I just never cared about them.
There was a whiff of, there were a couple of seconds watching the movie, I was like, is this going to happen with these two? Like, is this, there was a whiff of sex in the air.
But I like that. I love their relationship, because it's like this.
Good chemistry.
Yeah, it's like these two people, this one person. I think the Ava Stratton character is the best character in the book. Like, it's just a really interesting character, this woman who is so smart and knows that this is what they have to do if they're going to survive. And she makes these decisions, like, the station blows up and she's on the phone 2 seconds later.
Let's go, right.
She's crying, like, while she's, like, inducing her friend into a coma. Like, these are really great moments, and I wish we had more of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, that didn't really hit. Scene looked great when the thing blows up, but it just doesn't. Again, I was kind of like, okay,
right, yeah.
In the book, makes sense. It's kind of like going through the motions. Where I guess I wish the focus on the non-Grace characters, non-Grace and Rocky, had been more on her.
Yes,
as a whole, I think that you would have been fine with that. Like, I think you probably could have found a way to cut the rest of them out a little more and just been like, and kind of understood their relevance by just getting it from her.
Yeah, if you want to give an edge to this movie over The Martian, her as the head is definitely an edge over Jeff Daniels' drip.
Yeah.
is Will McAvoy ripoff in The Martian.
If this gets nominated for Best Picture, is that three straight Best Picture nominations for her that she was in? For
Hugh? Did she sneak into something else that we don't
have interest?
Wasn't anything last year?
Anatomy of a Fall?
I don't think she was in anything.
I don't remember her being in last
year. U.S.
That's 3 years between.
She might, if it's a bad year, she might even sneak in supporting.
She's in Digger this year too. Later this year with Cruz.
That's crazy. If she goes double nomination, that'd be nuts.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Anatomy of a Fall, Zone of Interest. Yeah. Damn. What a year. Jesus. There was one other change too. I don't know if you guys remember this. The scene where Rocky saves Grace and then, like, almost dies, right?
Right.
If I remember right in the book, they kind of save each other. Like, the spin is happening, and Rocky saves Grace by stopping the spin, but then he's immediately dying. And then, if I remember right, Grace, like, picks him up and drags him to the environment.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
He burns
right.
the shit out of himself, and he almost dies. Right. And then they both just kind of sit there almost dying until, I think, like, Grace, like, almost saves him, if I remember correctly. And that's that was right. one change which I thought was interesting to make, because I think it was kind of better to keep the book version, almost because them constantly saving each other is kind of like the theme of the movie. Like, they need each other in order to advance the goal for both of their species' survival. But in the sake of the movie, I don't think it mattered a huge ton. But one of the tiny changes I might have liked to stay.
Yeah. Plus, they had sex in the book.
They did have sex in the book.
Yeah. It's like 30 violently. Pages. It is very specific. Wow. Yeah. Very graphic. Yeah.
A lot of straps. Yeah, it was tough.
Good move to get rid of that, I think.
Does he have any other books that could become movies like this?
Artemis, just that right? one I mentioned, Artemis, I think.
Huh.
They say that's the worst of his three, right? Or books, if I remember
right. I'm not sure. But I was going to say, this book, I don't know if you guys felt this way while you were reading it. I think very clearly written with a movie in mind. Like, it reads like a screenplay.
Yeah. Ryland Grace is like it's like an old Grisham character. Once a movie started happening, you can just tell. Yeah.
I'd go as far as saying that the character of Ryland Grace was written with Gosling in mind.
I mean, like, you're right. It's interesting. I think book and movie, there's just nothing there, which is okay, but there's not a lot of, and maybe that's somebody who chooses to live on a different planet than Earth. There's nothing for him to live there. Even when he's teaching in the book and in the movie, I just didn't really care.
Yeah. When he says, like, yeah, she left me 'cause I had my head in the clouds. Like, that's not a real character. Right. That's so, that just felt lazy to me, at least.
Yeah, that's fair.
Almost just leave it out. Like, don't even just make him ambiguous and make him mysterious. He's very clearly supposed to be an everyman, but like, it's Ryan Gosling. Come on.
Yeah.
A movie that we all, I'd categorize Kirk liked it. I think just not loved it to the extent that a lot of other people did. So pretty wide range of scores here.
There you go, Kirk. You're a human. You liked it. That's good. Huh? You're a human. You liked it.
Well, I didn't. If that's the, I'd rather just not like it. If that's how you do it. If I never read the book, I definitely think I would have liked it more. I fell into that trap. I'm guilty of that.
Gooch, what'd you give it again? Remind me, score-wise?
85.
85. It's on the screen. I know people are watching on there like, Jeff's on the fucking screen. If you're watching. Yeah, so wide range. 72 from Kirk, 85 from Gooch, 89 for myself, Ken Jack 90, Clemmer 97.
Jesus.
You're going to regret that 10 years from now. You'll want that back.
I don't think so. Dude. You guys make fun of you being too.
I don't have the schmaltz alarm out. There's some schmaltz in this.
Oh yeah, this is Poptimism 101.
This is melting from schmaltz.
This is where you can make shit on me for the schmaltz.
If Gosling doesn't show up as like a 95, like was it you just heightened?
What's that?
If Gosling doesn't show up, is it like?
That didn't. No? I mean, I was cool, but like that. I was. This movie's like 2:40. This could have got another hour, and I was.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I was
3 hours and 40.
He wanted Clemmer. Yeah. Clemmer texted him that he wanted to see the Rock kids taking the SAT on that plane. He's like, give me more.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Was Ryland coaching the volleyball team?
Like, at the end, they're like, maybe we'll send you back home. I could have dealt with him going back home and doing a whole another hour and a half, and him going home. I was just loving these characters. I was loving how this looked. I was loving how this felt.
It did look great.
It did look.
Yeah, all the scenes, like the particles and stuff they're looking at, it reminded me of the practical stuff they did in Oppenheimer, where Christopher Nolan's really fucking on top of Cillian Murphy, like spinning shit in his face. It all just looked so good. Don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed the movie. I'm excited to see it again.
At least I bet you at least 10 nominations. It's definitely gonna be nominated for Best Picture, definitely, and then it's gonna all the below the line stuff.
Also, one more shout out before we move on. James Ortiz, who did the puppet and the voice for Rocky. That is one of the better.
The Rock did look good, because obviously The Rock not looking good would be
catastrophic.
A movie killer. I mean, that's if The Rock looks stupid.
They're trying to merchandise it, by the way. That's always been like the thought in my mind of this movie. It's like they're obviously always going to want to merchandise these big like four quadrant movies, but like the Rocky plush toy, they're just so awkwardly everything with the Rocky character does not really work for merchandising. So it's like these like weird plushies. I know, Ken Jack, you got one. Has it come in?
No,
Clemmer, you got it.
Clemmer bought a Rocky bought a Rocky toy.
Why? Yeah, we're not going to get it for like a month, I think.
It's got a fleshlight built in.
For what point? For just. Why?
To have a Rocky plush toy. It's great.
Just like play with it?
Put it on the desk right there.
Okay. Right, okay. Yeah.
They did.
It'll make me happy.
That one you can actually hug.
How great is
you
that?
Can hug it. Rocky. That's nice. That's nice.
I will say they definitely want to merchandise it. They also definitely didn't expect it to be, I don't think, as big of a hit as it is, because people are wanting like the little 3D figurines. And I tried to print it out, but I forgot to do it until this morning. It didn't finish. People want like things from the movie, and they uploaded a 3D model on the Project Hail Mary website to have you print it out. If they had really known that thing would be up for sale, they would not be offering that free to print on their website. Also the biggest opening for Amazon, obviously.
Yeah, they needed this. That studio has been terrible since Amazon.
That's a big win for people who want theaters too. It's like, okay, I know it's like whatever, you know, root for Amazon, bootlicker. But no, if they're going to make movies, let's at least make them fucking good and make a lot of money, because then they'll keep putting them in theaters. So, that's a big one. And a big one for Amy Pascal, one of the producers of this movie. And we'll be talking about her in about 10 seconds. We talk about Spider-Man, Brand New Day, which I'm very excited to talk about, because one of the wildest stats we've ever seen from a movie trailer. Project Hail Mary, though, definitely go check it out. I think everyone here would suggest that big time, because this is the movie you see in theaters. Mm-hmm. This is definitely something. Go see it. If you can see it in IMAX, go see it in Dolby, whatever you can see it in, just go see it. If you got a little shitty theater, doesn't matter. Just go. Your theater will have a great time with it too. My theater was raucous the whole time, so good stuff.
The Astrophage scene in IMAX, we talk about it, like format, if you can get to a big IMAX screen, man, do it. Because that Astrophage scene where they flip to the infrared is so cool. That was one of my favorite IMAX scenes in a while.
I saw it in IMAX because there's a new there's an IMAX at like the Bob Bullock Texas History Museum in downtown Austin, but they don't serve snacks, so it's like I don't want to go to that. So there's a place near me called Hookie Entertainment. It's like Dave and Buster's, but they have IMAX movies. It's like it's kind of a good concept, but they have it's like really elevated Alamo Drafthouse food, and the guy next to me got I swear. Three orders of churros. Three orders during the movies. And at one point, I swear to God, I looked over because I was like, holy shit. He goes, these are great. I was like, yeah, I assume so. He just housed like 12 churros. I'll try next time.
Foot taken off.
So trailer time. Two huge trailers last week. We'll start out with the one that did kind of the crazy number because this is a fascinating discussion that I don't think any of us really believe. And that's Spider-Man Brand New Day. Spider-Man Brand New Day, the trailer leaked in the fall. Some guy tweeted it. It's the same exact trailer.
Yep.
It's off like an old Motorola Razr phone. Like the quality stinks. It's the same trailer. And it finally came out, which it kind of was weird that we hadn't seen anything yet. And it did massive numbers. 718 million views, apparently, for the Spider-Man Brand New Day trailer. That beat Deadpool and Wolverine's previous record for biggest trailer of all time with 365 million views. Now, here's the caveat. That is either the most insane thing of all time, and I'm not exaggerating. If that's legitimate views for the trailer, the full 0 seconds to whatever, 2:30 minute trailer, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
But the day before the trailer came out, they had influencers release 2-second snippets of the trailer. So it'd be like Tom Holland, like ripping his suit or like about to jump, like 2-second, calling them vines wouldn't even be like GIFs basically. Yeah. They have to be counting those because I totally believe this movie, this definitely beat Deadpool Wolverine. I would totally believe that there's 400 million views. Like that, I believe that beat it. To double it is the most batshit insane thing I've ever heard. And they have to be counting that, which is Kevin Feige watching Amy Pascal count 2-second GIFs as trailer views has to drive him fucking in those two who would definitely hate each other. That's a great next step in their rivalry because the Doomsday trailer is not going to beat this unless they release 2-second GIFs. That's an unbeatable record now if that's what they claim. This is crazy, right? Like, this is nuts that they're claiming this.
They're saying they didn't count those.
They're saying they didn't count them?
At least in the Hollywood Reporter article that covered that.
There's no way statistically that many people – it doesn't make any sense just like on Earth. I don't think
that 1 in 15 people on –
I don't think so. No, I don't. I could be wrong. I don't think so. North Korea, it's were people watching that? It seems unlikely.
Unless they're kind of people that engaged or physically saw the trailer as a view, like not even viewed it, like it came across a feed. Like if they're counting that, like as a view, like what could it be?
It's just like the Deadpool Wolverine trailer was impressive as it is, and I'm sure the Doomsday trailer is going to probably do like 400 million views, right? But like to top it by almost half. Like double, excuse me, is yeah. I mean, if that's true and they didn't use those little clips, this is the greatest phenomenon in the history of movie making. Like this is the greatest promotional thing ever released, right? Like that's
I think it is the biggest franchise. Like I think it's going to make more money than Doomsday. Like Spider-Man is just bigger. Like he's just bigger. He's the bigger like
there's a lot of hype for it, don't get me wrong. And I totally believe this beat Doom. If you told me 500 million views I would have believed it, but 700.
Holy shit. To watch a bunch of like people in their 40s walk around a college party. I don't know.
Yeah. So what do we? So there's clearly I think there's two timelines in the trailer. I think there's him pretty close after the movie, and then I believe it's a 4-year jump for most of the movie from the last movie, because I think you see them like going to college and you see them like after college in this, which I think they need to do. They're older now. It's time to move on from because then you just start to just do what. I mean, they're already going to college in the last movie, but like they need to jump a little past college too. You see Mark Ruffalo is in this. You see as Bruce Banner, not Smart Hulk. You see Punisher. Why am I forgetting his name?
John Bernthal.
John Bernthal fucking hates naps.
You know, I saw that.
Guy hates naps. People who nap should die, basically, is what he thinks. He's in this as the Punisher, which I think you're going to see him in the new Daredevil, which is releasing on Disney Plus. There's also rumors that this trailer spoiled the new Daredevil season, which is very funny because you see a new mayor in this trailer when Fisk is the mayor in Daredevil technically this season. So that'd be very funny if Sony also spoiled that for Disney. It was solid trailer, fine. I get they also very clearly airbrushed a lot of things out of this trailer. There's a lot of things that are cut out, like the last one, right? Like there's probably Daredevil in there somewhere. They haven't shown the Sadie Sink character. Some people think it's Jean Grey.
Right.
I don't know if it is or not. It'd be kind of a wild place to introduce Jean Grey. So whatever, everyone else, I feel like everyone else is kind of on the same page, right?
I like the trailer fine. I like fine, I guess. It did what it had to do, I think.
I was a bit let down by this. And not in like the this is a disaster kind of way, but coming off Wonder Man, which is like the first Disney Plus series that I thought really, in years, that I thought was like really well made. This doesn't really have that visual look kind of at all. It does in a couple moments, but a lot of it really looks like the Amazing Spider-Man kind of sheen to it, which has its place, but I was hoping for something else, to be honest. Yeah. And it's just a trailer, so who fucking knows? Like, maybe it'll look different.
I'm with you. Nothing mind-blowing, especially considering the big change in director. I saw a lot of people going, and I think we talked about this in our chat a little bit, like people with the John Watts hate.
A lot of retroactive John Watts hate.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, way over, like, insane amounts of John Watts hate. I don't get that. But I think not a ton of change over to Destin Daniel Cretton, who I think is a great director, and I'm very excited to see what he does with it. The best thing we got out of it is the Spider-Man suicide meme, which is definitely going to do numbers in the future, like him jumping off the building. I think that's going to get a lot of play over the next year and change. So that's the best I can get from it.
Trailer was fine. I like Spider-Man. This looks good. This didn't move the needle for me either way.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, it's fine.
Destin Cretton doing this and kind of change. I like the John Watts ones, but it's nice to get a different vibe and different vision too, just to kind of give it some new life, maybe new look, especially as he moves on to like a different part of his life. Peter Parker does. This comes out July 31st, 2026. He'll keep an eye on that prediction from Kirk. Makes more than Doomsday. It's going to make a fuckload of money either way, though. This is one of the movies. There's a big group of movies here that are going to make well over $1 billion. This is absolutely one of them.
This one won't have IMAX either, though.
Oh, that's true. Because of Nolan,
Crazy,
right?
Odyssey.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I think Doomsday's going to stink. So that's just my gut feeling. Gut feeling. I could be completely wrong. So I think it's not going to be I think Spider-Man will go a while. But
I think.
Well, the last one made 1.4 billion Spider-Man, but it is an outlier too because it was so nostalgia based with the three Spider-Men. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is the brand new day trailer. Next up, the Dune Part 3 trailer, which came out the day before. Somehow survived the 2 second gifts from Spider-Man, which were dropped on the same day as this trailer. I didn't know what to expect. I thought we were going to get a significantly smaller trailer. I thought a teaser, because this doesn't come out till December. This comes out the same day as Avengers Doomsday, which will probably end up being one of the biggest days of the box office ever. Like,
pack
that
your
day.
Fucking bags.
That's definitely nobody's going to back off now, huh? Like, it's showtime now.
Which I do wonder if a little bit of them is like, why not play off? Like, why not see if you can get a little extra magic like Barbie Oppenheimer did? Though,
and people are going to go see both anyway. It doesn't, you know.
I don't think neither really need it, but it is. It is going to be that you want to talk about a fucking event weekend for movies. That is going to be bananas. So, this gave a full trailer. Like, if I don't see another new trailer for this movie again, I'll be very happy. Like, that's enough. Like, you gave me everything I need to see. I think I'm very biased. I'm a huge Dune fan. I think that was a fucking awesome trailer. That kind of hit everything it needed to hit. Great music. You have Chalamet singing. I also think that Chalamet losing the Oscar was the greatest thing to happen in this movie and its marketing. It kind of came out at the perfect time. I do wonder how much that was timed that way. Because like he's still kind of in this discussion of, you know, what his career, this, that, and this comes out, and it's just it made the rounds. It did not do what the Spider-Man Brand New Day trailer did, but
I don't think anything ever will.
Pretty heavy. What?
I don't think anything ever could do the numbers that Spider-Man did. And I don't think it's physically impossible to do like 1 billion views on a trailer.
So what AMC has been doing is for special movies, only The Odyssey up until this point, they play the trailer after Nicole Kidman. So they have Nicole Kidman, and then they do a special trailer for Odyssey, the teaser. And they did this for Dune 3. Dune 3 got the post-Nicole treatment.
Got it twice. They're playing it twice right now in IMAX. Yeah. They play it during the main trailer package, and then the lights go down, and then they do these, which I love because it's like, let people get to their seats, one, and two, the lights down makes a huge difference when you see that trailer.
Yeah, I mean, I know Ken, Jack, and Gooch, you were with me. I mean, this is like, I mean, I made a video about it on Twitter. I was kidding because I'm very excited for everything else coming out this year, but I'm like, if I only see one thing the rest of the year, it's this. I mean, I think this thing looks fucking unbelievable. So, and this, they're going for it. I think it's very clear too, with putting a trailer out this big, this early, I almost, 9 months out, they're going for that Return of the King energy and trying to get something here.
I would advise the people who are putting money into Dune Part 3 Oscar Best Picture wins. I don't think it has a fucking chance, to be honest.
Like, just the source material itself?
Just source material, too weird. There's so many good movies coming out this year. I just don't think this will ever play to that crowd. Like, I think it's just too much. Like, even with Lord of the Rings, it's still kind of sword and sandal. This is like huge sci-fi franchise stuff. Like, I don't know if this will... I don't think this can get to Best Picture win. It'll very much be nominated.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't think it has like really any realistic shot at winning, even if it's 100 out of 100, which I think it could be. But
kind of depends. It depends. Things sometimes just kind of come in. You know, I don't know what the favorite is right now, but you never know. What
you'd probably say Odyssey.
Yeah, but I feel like they're not going to give Nolan. That's not going to happen too.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing working against that movie is will they, which I'm not saying is fair. I think
probably but just how it works. So yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, don't you guys think like Project Hail Mary is a better chance of winning Best Picture than Dune 3?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Too early.
That's definitely my reason. I think it's too early. I think a little
too goofy too. I think a little too goofy.
I don't actually disagree too much with what you say, Gooch. There, I don't think it has no chance though, because it is coming off of legs of two other movies nominated for Best Picture, and I think they're going to campaign the living shit out of this movie. Like I think they are going to go balls to the wall for this thing to win Best Picture, and I think you've seen. I think the biggest example of that is the fact they just released a full trailer 9 months out.
That's true,
which they hadn't really done. I don't think for the other ones, they'd been like small teasers the first trailer. So I definitely would side with what you say. I'd say it's. I don't think it'll be the favorite, but I think it has a better chance than the last two had.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys think that Doomsday stays? Before we move on.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
You know who's fucked by this is Jumanji 3.
I didn't even know that was coming out.
That's a big franchise, and that's going to get swallowed up in week.
Damn it!
So you know what, Clemmer? That like you're right initially, but I bet you if it's pretty good, like week six, it'll be still chugging along. Like it'll find its audience that time of year. Kids are going to that's one of those ones that'll have legs.
Movie theaters are you guys are kind of goofing around. Movie theaters are pissed because they're like, why are we getting like. They want to see these more staggered out because
this is weird. I'm with you. I don't get why they're releasing.
I don't either.
But now I don't think Doomsday in their mind, they feel like they can't blink, which is stupid, but that's what's going to happen.
Oh no. Cause now you have two major studios and like whoever backs.
I still wish this dick one measure. Came out earlier for award stuff. I wish this was November.
Dune.
I just think that's a better
feels like it should
time
be, right?
frame for awards.
Yeah.
You know what kind of ruined that, I think, was Hunger Games being in that Thanksgiving week.
I think this could also be something, and I don't know how much control Chalamet has in this franchise. Obviously, moving forward, he'll have a lot more control, but he's becoming a Christmas time release guy annually. You can expect a Chalamet movie in theaters at Christmas time. I do wonder if this is from his camp, that he wants that Christmas release.
Mm. This we won't get too into the weeds on source material here, but I will know I've seen a lot of that about like this is one of the few things I have read, and they do get weird and they get worse as the Dune books go along, and I've seen some people being like I don't know fans don't like this stuff. I'm like, well, my one counter to that is A, it's being pitched as the conclusion, right? B, I know there's been some Villeneuve said apparently like door open if people wanted to continue, but he's concluding it in his way. C, I guess, in the sense. Villeneuve is a fan. He's a diehard fan of the book. And so my thing is, if you're a fan who knows there's issues, I think he's a fan and knows there's issues. I think we've seen he's willing to change and do different things. So I'm not concerned about like the crappy source material angle of things, I guess. I do think he'll make the right. At this point, I trust him as much as anyone in Hollywood other than maybe Nolan and like maybe Jordan Peele. So it's like,
Yeah, also, all we heard for years was that Dune is impossible to make a movie out of. And he did it twice with two,
right.
In my opinion, good to very good movies. I know you guys think they're great. Like, so I have to believe he's going to make a good movie with the third one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially if you look at the first movie, like, and knowing that it's pretty dense material, the first two movies anyway that he's working off, and knowing that there was already an attempt to make a Dune movie, which failed miserably trying to adapt that material. And Denny did it, and he adapted it, he trimmed where he needed to do, and he made it digestible. So I think if he could do it with the first book, I don't see why he can't in the second, even though I'm with you guys in that everything I've ever read about Messiah is that it's just freaky. It's freaky as shit, but yeah, I assume there'll be some creative liberties, I assume.
The further down the road it gets, I mean, the book literally, like, fourth wall breaks, like, them being like, hey, these didn't really work. We didn't really do what we wanted to do. It's basically what happens in the book. So, anyway, that's Dune. One piece of news. I'm going to slap major, major rumor on this. Major rumor, not confirmed.
I'm choosing to believe it. I'm choosing to believe it. I'm living my life believing this is true.
And that is Tom Cruise apparently is being looked at to be the villain in the new Miami Vice movie. Now, here's the thing that makes you believe it a little bit. Joseph Kosinski is directing it. They are obviously very much tied at the hip. Austin Butler and Michael B. Jordan are definitely in Miami Vice. I'm slapping. I know Gooch shook his head, and I know.
Remember how long that
major
hug
was? Rumor.
With that major rumor. Major hug, too. That was a long hug when they hugged the Sanderson. Long hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm putting that in there, too. This, I am telling you guys right now, I am telling you it's 100% true. I am going to say this is going to happen. I'm guaranteeing it. I need it in my life. I need Cruise to play a serious role. I need this. You know, look, this is not Michael Mann's not directing it, unfortunately. Joseph Kosinski is good, fun entertainment. I think this is a better combination than they have with Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell. Obviously not as good as the original. That's not possible. But with Cruise as a bad guy in this movie, I am 10,000% in. So I am telling you guys right now it's going to happen. It's a go. We're going. It's a go picture.
God, I love it so much. Him playing a bad guy, I feel like it's been forever. And maybe I think if Digger is like a big like phenomenon or success, I think it'll definitely reinforce that. Like him taking serious roles again.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
This is what I like. Like, this is what I've been begging for him to do. I know maybe he's too weird now. He's too puffy. Maybe we've lost him. But like for him to kind of, I've been saying for years, go. Paul Newman was his guy. This is what we're doing now. We're in our 60s. Like, it's time to stop sprinting around. Like, this is a great actor. He used to be like, be a great actor. This is maybe the start of it. He could fucking steal this thing from these two guys.
I need him to recreate finish off the Hustler trilogy.
He's the same age now that Newman was in Color of Money.
Yeah.
Him and Chalamet playing pool.
That's my dream. Him and Chalamet.
You want Scorsese directing it again or no?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
I'm in.
So this was disputed by some other people as well. This has made its way around the movie rumor Twitter where people, they dunk on each other. It's like they're just nasty to each other. And it's just very funny if you follow like movie news rumors. But this is up there. I prefer this instead of him joining Kaczynski's like F1 Days of Thunder crossover sequel, though. As much as I loved F1.
Cole Trickle back in the saddle. Come on.
F1 was, I still think, was a Days of Thunder sequel that they just rewrote.
Right.
Was. And so Pitt took it and had fun with it. But like, we don't need that. Nobody's begging for that. Nobody's a cocktail sequel. Like, just, let's just do this. Let's just do this, please.
Things we've watched, any physical media purchase. Kirk, anything recently? I know there's a show you and I are watching, which is two shows, actually.
Yeah, well, we have the same ones. I hooked you on one of the worst shows of all time. Memory of a Killer.
It's your fault. It is the great
Michael Imperioli.
The stupidest show ever.
Asshole, but great actor. And he's honest. I can't even describe it. Fox had like a little hit with that show where the woman from House of Cards has like amnesia, but she's still a doctor or something. So they
what's that? Doc? Is that what it is?
I don't know. But whatever it is, they further by having Patrick Dempsey in maybe the worst casting of all time playing like this ice cold hitman who also suffers from amnesia. And I don't even know what's going on, but I'm in every week. It's one of the worst shows in the history of television. If it's on,
like,
for 20
I don't
seasons,
want to say career killer for Michael Imperioli, but it's not a good look. It's
he doesn't even move. He just sits there. Like, he just clearly just took a paycheck. It's unbelievable.
And then the other one, which I know Ken Jack is also watching. I don't know if you ejected on it. Is the JFK Jr. show?
I'm totally caught up. Yeah, no, I'm in.
Yeah, had the most recent episode is. The first one that I've actually said is dreadful. It involves the Princess Diana crash.
That was tough.
It's the penultimate episode, I think, too. I think there's only one more left.
Next week, yeah. Yeah.
It's setting up one of the most uncomfortable, probably borderline offensive shows episodes we'll ever see with the plane crash. Like, yeah. It is just coming to a head of like, wow, that was really not okay. That was uncomfortably not great.
As part of the Murphy verse, I probably shouldn't weigh in that much, but the I did read Daryl Hannah's op-ed a few weeks ago in the New York Times, and I kind of don't blame her. She was like, I didn't fucking do any of this. Like, why are they writing this about me?
She's portrayed as one of the most mentally unstable lunatics of all time. Yeah,
but I think we were talking about earlier. I don't know, Ken Jack, you said you're watching it too. Like, at least it's for me, like the first five or six, at least it's aware of what it is. You know, it's serving you what it's serving you, which I kind of
I felt
like.
That way for the first few episodes, and I was like, this is bad. But it's I feel like they are cognizant that they're not making, like, you know, what is going to be the Michael Fassbender JFK or Kennedy series, which I think is going to be tremendous. But that I'm excited for. That's the Crown people, which, like, the Crown, I'm not an Anglophile, so I'm not into that, but, like, it is very competently made.
Yeah. You're talking a number one Crown binge watcher in Kirk.
Yep. Yeah. Every year when I get sick, I watch the Crown again.
Make you sicker?
I love it. But yeah,
I've said it on this show,
Jack. Like five, and then it just took a turn. Is that what you're saying? Because I kind of agree. Like somewhere we lost it this series.
Yeah,
binging the Crown is like walking through a combination of mud and quicksand. It is just, it is so British.
Just stiff lips. Just a tough scene.
It's so funny too, because like I think I was explaining this series to someone before, like. The worst scandal that could happen in the Crown was like someone wore the wrong dress to the wrong thing, and that was like a nuclear holocaust. But then in the Kennedys, it's like, oh, we lobotomized our daughter. Like that, the stakes are going to be so much different in the Kennedy version versus the Crown.
And then a show that it's the stupidest fucking show of all time.
I don't know if I can keep doing it. I don't know. This last episode was the worst one yet.
Everyone's bailing. Bad Clemmer, yeah.
The first season was very good, and this season is such a mess. But there's only two episodes left this season, so I think I'm just like in it for the long haul. But like, it's bad.
Well, and there's only one season left too. So it's kind of the perfect, like, I'm not gonna quit because I know there's not like eight.
But
seasons.
I should quit though. It's, we know, still what 8 hours do. Of my 10 hours of my life that like.
We already know what it's gonna be. They're gonna fucking tease time travel in the last episode, and they're gonna be like, "Well, wait for season three. We're gonna get more time travel." Yeah. And I'm not into it. I feel like I'm tapped.
The time travel is gonna be, because there's people watching this who like this who I don't think realize it's a sci-fi show, and they're gonna see the time travel and they're gonna be like, "What the fuck?
Is this gonna end with James Marsden alive? Like it ends like?"
I'd be unbelievable. Oh my god, if you walked out of like the Avengers portal.
Oh yes. I'd be back.
Sucks.
Paradise is worth watching solely to listen to the covers of popular songs that end every episode. It is
dreary covers.
Egregious.
When they had the Stromae, we've mentioned it a couple weeks ago. When they're in Graceland, and they're leaving Graceland, and there's a Stromae guitar, and you hear "You ain't nothing but a hound dog." No, like, fucking bad. I was laughing. I paused the show. I was laughing so hard. It's unreal. Clemmer, I know you saw a few reminders of him. Terrible movie. Terrible movie.
Oh, Reminders of Him stinks.
What a offensively bad movie. Yes, another Colleen Hoover, another stinker from the Colleen Hoover universe.
She co-wrote this.
Yeah, it's bad.
She's not. I mean, you know, she's not Robert Louis Stevenson, Clemmer. You shouldn't give a great.
She's not Andy Weir.
Kirk, how often do you see a novelist write the screenplay? It's fairly
Craig
rare.
Did a couple of times, right?
Yeah, I mean, it happens, but this is bad.
Yeah, I wonder if she got hooked in early. She like was contractually obligated like before she blew up to have that to co-write that.
The sad thing is, there's a good movie here about forgiveness, but instead they just force feed this romance that you throw. It doesn't make any sense, and you're like, what? It ruins the movie.
Hmm.
Also, Masters of the Universe, talk about with Robbie Fox on Super Critics. This movie's terrible. Frank Langella, Skeletor, Dolph Lundgren, He-Man. Very bad movie. We had a large on.
I will say, I took my son Harry. He didn't even know about this to Project Hail Mary. He didn't know this He-Man movie was coming out. And people were actually laughing at the trailer. Like, they were, like, laughing. So I'm excited for that one. I'm going to have a good time with that.
I just don't know who that's for.
Like, I have no idea. It feels
I'm excited. I think I said when the trailer came out, I'm excited for it either way, good or bad. Like, yeah, there's just something to it. Like,
crazy.
I know I'm going to have a good time.
It looks like it's from the 80s. I don't know. I'm kind of excited.
It's Dungeons and Dragons all over again.
Yeah,
it's going to be D&D all over again, where the trailer was, me and Ken Jack made fun of that trailer.
We did. So
we hated that trailer. And then it was like a pretty fun movie.
I hope so.
Yeah.
The HBO, by the way, Neighbors was very good. The finale.
Oh, dude, I watched that finale last night. I hadn't seen any of the other episodes. Holy fuck.
Holy shit. That's one of the craziest endings I've ever seen in a series. And Neighbors, the Bill Lawrence one, I think is solid too. Corny. Yeah, Rooster. It's corny. It's Bill Lawrence corny, sort of like with heart humor, but I like it. I enjoyed it enough.
And I saw a Safdie. I don't know which Safdie did this, but it has to be.
Josh.
Or if it was Nathan. I don't know who did this thing on Fox yesterday. There was this flag football. I think it was Nathan Fielder, probably. It looked like Tom Brady was playing football. I'm not sure what was going on, but it seemed like it was from. I don't know. They set something up. It was wild. I don't know what was going on, but it was interesting.
That was tough. Not exactly the greatest advertisement for the Olympics.
No, that was it was very.
Yeah, they Gucci's
weird.
Boy doing pirouettes and then with a torn ACL or whatever. That was crazy.
MLB teams are jailing their players so they can't go play in the World Baseball Classic, and the NFL players are out playing receiver.
Burrow looked like Joe Theismann. Quarterbacks. His leg shattered during the game. Crazy.
Burrow tore his ACL in that. Holy shit. That would have been.
On Fox against the tournament. I'm like, what is fuck is going on here?
Got a
they
couple.
They were doing it in Saudi too, weren't they? Or they didn't end up doing it in Saudi, but they were going to do it there, right?
Yeah. Like 12 people.
Crazy.
There.
Got a few physical things. Got Arrow Video Last Starfighter. Got Chris Hemsworth movie, Black Hat. Got that.
Nice.
Arrow Video sale. 12 Monkeys.
Oh.
And then a movie that Clemmer hated that I love. I love this movie, Flash Gordon, Arrow Video.
Oh, Flash Gordon stunk.
Oh, Clemmer.
Robbie hated it too. Robbie trashed it on Super Critics.
Oh, he did? Okay, well, I guess I'll change my mind. I didn't really.
You like it. What do you like?
I like it because I watched all the time. I was like six.
All right, well, watch you it now. I mean? It stinks.
Yeah, but I would like have fun with it. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's like purposely like cheeky, you know. It's like supposed to be
but
bad.
It doesn't go full camp. It doesn't do enough of that.
Yeah.
I will say, great score, though. The Queen stuff's great.
I see the Marty Supreme. I could see the corner.
got the A24 release.
Do you like their packaging?
I do. I like the spine. It has like a video store feel to it.
Something about it bothers me. I don't have any physical, by the way, but before we move on, keep your ears peeled this week if you are looking to get in the game, because I do think Criterion should have their biannual 50% sale this week.
Always a good time to do it.
So yeah, stay alert.
And I know it was gone for a while, but Marty Supreme, another movie I didn't really like that much, but that's
true. It's right. You have not been on here to talk about that.
Didn't love it.
You did like The Bride, though. You did give it a 95.
Bride was fucking Bride.
I remember you. Yeah, you said the Mary Shelley spoke to you.
I gave it a 97 because I just had fun with it.
Before she spoke to him, though, she said, "Knock, knock."
Yes. A Christian Bale plush toy.
Paul Atreides could look up and pull out a fucking paddle and play the guy for Marty Supreme, and I would be less shocked than I was when they played Putting on a Ritz in The Bride.
It was incredible.
Like that, I won't be more shocked the rest of the year in a movie when they played that.
I was in the theater with walked out when they got up, like 40 minutes and walked. They looked like they had been like concussed. They were like, just almost like wandering around, and then they left. It was just like, I was like, you got to, if you're here at this point, it's like week three, you got to hang in.
The guy behind me had a good, like, 40, he had a good, like, you could hear him pick the keys up out of the cup holder. Like, he's like, this guy's fucking ready to
go. Her next movie will be good. She'll go smaller again, and her next movie will be good.
Yeah.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash. This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium, where each episode releases 3 hours early. So get it ad-free before anybody else, only when you join Rumble Premium. New episodes of Surviving Barstool will be released every Sunday and Wednesday, leading up to the Labor Day finale on September 7th. You can watch Surviving Barstool at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium and everywhere else at 8 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Top 10 space movies. Top 10 space. We got an even 5 today, so just 2 picks each. This could be wide ranging. This could kind of be anything. Just a movie that is set in some way, shape, or form in space. Kirk, myself, Gooch, Ken Jack, Clemmer back to back, 5-6. And then Ken Jack, Gooch, myself, and then Kirk. Number one space movie set in space of all time, Kirk.
Well, I think you make a case. I probably wouldn't, but you can make a case as the best movie of all time. So I'm going to go with Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. I mean, I know it's not, you know, I just feel like it's, you know.
I always say
Empire Strikes Back is great. I mean, you know, it's
my number one movie of all time. I always say if it wasn't Star Wars and it was something else, like I think more people would say it's number one. Not that it's like a crazy take to say that, but I do think it'd be a significantly more common. It's just the Star Wars of it all, I feel like.
Where is it on now? It's always running where? An AMC or FX? Where is it now? I forget. Wherever they're doing marathons on it now. It was on a couple weeks ago and I watched, and it still looks great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just looks great. It's just one of the great, you know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you why The Empire Strikes Back is great, but yeah, there you go.
And he only directed one Star Wars movie, right? Was it Irvin
Kershner?
Irvin Kershner directed that one, yeah. And then Marquardt did Jedi.
It's crazy he only did one. Like, it's such a great movie. Mm-hmm.
Star Wars?
Yeah. Like, you think he?
Oh, you're talking about Irvin Kershner?
Yes.
He was a professor of his at USC, I think.
Yep. He definitely wanted to. I think the lore is, I believe he was asked to, or, you know, they wanted him to, but it didn't. He ended up not doing it. And then they wanted Spielberg, but because Lucas and his whole thing with the DGA and the credits after the movie and everything, it just didn't work out. And they ended up getting Marquand.
Remember, they wanted Lynch. They talked about Lynch, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane. Lucas was, you know, Lucas had a great eye for this stuff, but he wanted. I think with Kershner, too, he thought he could definitely control him. He just didn't want to direct anymore. And the production. If you watch the making of this, it's crazy. They were the weather was unbelievable. There were days they couldn't even leave the hotel. The last 40 minutes is just unbelievable.
So Kershner, he only did 2 more movies after Empire Strikes Back. Never Say Never Again, Bond movie, and then RoboCop 2, and then never made a movie again after RoboCop 2. What a life for Irvin Kershner.
He was an older guy too, right, at the time, I bet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my next one, this is tough. There's so many good options here. So many good ones here. But for me, it's like, I also like the idea of how much of this is set literally in space. And I like it more than the, probably a pick that I think many people would think maybe is going to be here. I like it a hair more. I gave this one a 97. And there's other movies that I may have rated higher, but the fact that this is just set in space and it's so like NASA astronaut based, I'm going to put The Martian.
What?
The
Martian at 2?
Love The Martian. I like Dune more personally, but we're talking space. This is set in space. I just think it's a great performance from Matt Damon. I love, like, this is a space movie. Like, this is like when I think of it, and I know Space Odyssey, whatever, obviously transcendent, inspired everything. But I love The Martian. I can't pretend I don't love The Martian more.
It's on the surface of Mars. It's not in space.
Yes, it is. They're flying around in space for years.
It's mainly on Mars.
He physically flies his human body through
might
space.
Might as well be in Arizona.
Chastain's team is in space for like 90 years.
It's a fine. Yeah, it's a great. I defend The Martian.
It's split into thirds, and I would say that one third of it is in space, and the other third is on Earth. The other third is on Mars.
But that's a space movie, though.
It's definitely a space movie, no question. But
Empire Strikes Back.
They're in the Cloud City, and they're Yoda's place.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back is atmosphere,
Hoth, and you know,
based. Yeah,
I'm just working off your logic, not the whole being space thing. Like that's what I'm.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be solely in space. I mean, it's non-Earth based is basically what I'm, and so much of it is in space.
This is gross. The Martian at 2. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Gucci, you're next. What's next?
2001. What the fuck do you mean, what's next? 2001 A Space Odyssey.
If I'm being completely honest with you, I like The Martian better as a movie anyway.
You like it more than 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Correct.
I do.
I'll be honest with you. 86 for Space Odyssey, 97 for The Martian.
I'm not a huge fan. For me, it's always work. Insane. I admire it, but it's always
the granddaddy of them all. A movie so good that they thought Kubrick fucking filmed the space landing.
The moon landing.
It broke people's brains. It still breaks people's brains.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I 96 for me. I think it's great. I think it's inspired a lot of stuff. It's an amazing movie. But I'm not gonna. I mean, this I don't. This is not like a. I don't think it's like a film school ranking here. This is like I just.
It's
I
not prefer film the Martian.
I prefer The Martian.
I don't. Martian's a more entertaining movie. That's crazy to me.
I don't see them playing "Turn the Beat Around" in a Space Odyssey. I don't see that.
She's got Mozart, Beethoven.
Is Kristen Wiig in 2001 A Space Odyssey?
No, Childish Gambino? Don't think so.
Childish Gambino.
Sean Bean?
Sean Bean. Damn, I forgot.
I will say The Martian is an all-time. Oh, they're in that movie? They're in this movie? Forgot that. But no, 2001, granddaddy of them all. I mean, not only influenced like just sci-fi genre. Like it's just really at the top of the mountain for me, at least. I think it's a perfect movie from the opening till the final credit. Like just takes so many bold decisions and just, I think pays off on all of them.
Hmm. I mean, it would have been my
every team. Movie we're talking about here is, by the way, is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are all great movies.
Ken Jack Ford.
I fucking hope so. We're the third pick in space movies.
But there's been some reaction. People are like shocked and stuff.
Oh, no, we're saying, should it be that high? I think everyone understands 2001 is a great film. Yeah. I don't think anybody's debating that.
I think some people are debating if Martian's a great film, it sounds like.
I'm a Martian defender.
He likes The Martian.
Great movie.
Yeah, because people try to be like, that's a bad Ridley Scott, like in terms of his filmography. I'm like, this is one of his best.
We should wait till I pick the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes. Just wait.
Oh, my God. I just remembered. There's another Ridley Scott movie. God damn it.
No shit.
Jesus
Christ. Did you say you think The Martian's his best movie?
Oh, Jesus.
Right? What am I forgetting?
Wow. I mean, think of what we're doing right now.
He has another space movie that is quite
popular. Oh, no, I have The Martian ahead of it on this list. Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. Okay.
So does Jeff, apparently.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. Who's up?
I think I'm up, right? I think that I also kind of want to do it in like the spirit of like a space movie draft. And I think that one that stands out, and I don't think it's better than some of the other movies I would even have in my own pool, same kind of reasoning as Jeff. I'd go with Interstellar, because I think that if you're talking about space movies, like that to me is like a definitive space movie. You are spending a lion's share of your time up there doing like all like sort of like a lot more sciencey stuff in space, and like I love the way they present it. Was it Hoyt van Hoytema? He's like just the premier space cinematographer. Everything looks incredible. It made me look at how you could shoot space in modern blockbusters differently versus like how they were being shot versus through the, I would say, 90s into early 2000s. It's just, it's totally different. And I think it was a real game changer in that regard. Love it. Again, not maybe as good a movie as some of the other things, but if I'm thinking space movie, I'm thinking of Interstellar. And regardless of, you know, love being the transcendent thing, the Tesseract, all that bullshit.
I like Interstellar. If it's a 90 out of 100, I'll always be at the low end of the spectrum in terms of like our generation. Like, cause this is viewed as like, I mean, it's so many people's just like generic favorite best like favorite movie of all time, and I've always enjoyed it, but just not as much as Nolan's other stuff. Mm. But this belongs absolutely top five if we're doing this list.
Murph.
Goddamn Murph.
Clemmer, back to back picks.
All right, my next pick, I guess, would be Star Wars: The Original New Hope. I think that's all. I like that a little bit more than Empire Strikes Back. I know that's like, but like, I have both in my.
No, I've never had any issue with. I've never had any issue with people preferring that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then this is a movie that I think you guys will all agree should be number six. That's Project Hail Mary.
Hell yeah, Clemmer.
Asshole Clemmer.
Hell yeah.
I thought you were going to say Apollo 13. You must love Apollo 13, right?
I like it.
Clemmer gets so nervous when she loses that ring in the shower. He gets so upset. He's like, this is going to be a bad day. This is not going to go well.
I like it. I have a couple other ones ahead of it for space movies. But Project Hail Mary is
better than the movie we just referenced earlier. The Ridley Scott.
Yes, I have that ninth on my list.
What the fucking say? Okay.
Okay. Ken Jackson.
It's just a glorified horror movie, Kirk. I mean.
What?
Yes.
Okay. Prisoner of the Moment.
Nope.
Ken, Jack, you have number 7.
Again, I'm still working off that same sort of like, what am I thinking of with like a space movie? And like, that's where I almost run into maybe in issues with like something like the one you guys are talking about, or even Star Wars in that matter. I'll go with the movie I love, and I know it's not going to get picked anywhere else, so I'm going to maybe fuck it up a little bit. But I love this movie. I think it's amazing. I think more people should watch it and love it. Fucking James Gray's Ad Astra. I love Ad Astra.
I'm an Ad Astra defender. I wouldn't have had it on my list, but I am an Ad Astra defender.
I think it's one of the most gorgeous movies. That's another Hoyt Van Hoytema space movie. It is beautiful. The way they shot it is insane. They use like multiple cameras to get like planet surfaces. Like it is a crazy, crazy good movie. I think Tommy Lee Jones, I think it's one of my favorite performances I've ever seen from him. Brad Pitt's awesome. I think top to bottom, great movie. Slow burn, it's just a James Gray-isms, I guess, but I love Ad Astra, and I think it's a great, great space movie.
People fucking hate this movie, and they hate James Gray for some reason. Like, that's like an inside baseball film buff niche thing, but like, people fucking hate him for some reason. It's like they hate this style of movie.
Long for me, I like it, though. I do like it.
He doesn't like the movie either. James Gray is like kind of open about like he does not like the way that movie came out, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, remember he did a long profile before the movie came out, right? I remember reading it. Yeah, where he was down on it.
Which I think I'm with you, Ken Jack. I think it's pretty brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Gooch, you have the next pick.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the asshole picking like the basic film school picks, but Alien. Ridley Scott's Alien. Come on, in space, no one can hear you scream.
On here.
I mean, it's just perfect and economic and like just kind of. Not only is a great space movie, but also a great horror movie, Klimmer. But I would argue that space is integral to everything in that movie. That is what makes it so horrifying, that they are out there alone. I think it's brilliant and is inspired by Star Wars, which I think is always the thing I always remember is that Ridley Scott just says that he saw Star Wars and was so fucking depressed. Yeah. He like just kind of like stopped doing anything for a few months and then started writing Alien. And figured that out. So, Alien, I think a perfect movie in my book.
Yeah, that'd be number 2 for me, for sure.
Yeah, it'd be in the top 5.
No, Avatar on your list.
I don't really know if I consider that space. I don't really go out into space too much. Mm. Yeah, that's the same thing with Dune for me. Like, Dune is sci-fi, but I don't know if it's space.
No, and that's why I'm not going to pick Dune next, because there's like a little bit, like a little bit. It's just not enough.
Yeah.
It's so planet-based. Shit, next one's – I think next one's kind of tough. There's a bunch of little things that I could you kind of throw in there. But I think I'm just going to back-to-back you and go Aliens.
Mm.
And go Aliens here. Alien, like these are kind of like twin movies for me, and not twin movies are wrong. That's when they released two of the similar movies in the same year, like Deep Impact and Armageddon or whatever. But these are like a pair almost for me, right? Like I kind of think the same way with Dune Part 2. In terms of like big like block, I know they're very different types of movies, right? They're directed differently, but I just think if Alien's there, Alien's got to be there as well. Love them both. Both absolutely excellent. So yeah, I'll go Aliens 9. Kirk, round it out, number 10.
Clemmer was talking earlier about this logjam coming up cinema this summer. I read this book last year, I think, in the summer of 82, within 8 weeks. 8 weeks, these movies were released in the theater. E.T., Tron, Conan the Barbarian, Blade Runner, Poltergeist the Thing, Mad Max the Road Warrior, and my number 10 pick, Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan.
Hell yeah.
Is a great science fiction movie, the best of that franchise, an underrated franchise. Every other movie.
You mean Wrath of Khan or Into Darkness from J.J. Abrams?
I think I mean Wrath of God. Yes. Just great. Great, crazy emotional ending. Great bad guy. Looks fantastic. The original Star Trek movie was not good. Was not well received. And as a franchise, they were like, I don't know here. Then they remembered this old episode. And you're like, let's bring it back, and it lands. It's great. It still looks great. It's on all the time on whatever. I still have cable, and it's on one of the movie channels all the time, and looks great. And it is like I still get emotional at the end when Leonard Nimoy dies. He doesn't really, mm-hmm. but it's yes, great, fantastic. And those 8 movies were released 2 months within an 8-week span.
That is pretty nuts. ET's
another tough one for me.
I kind of did not count as a space movie because everything is. Everything.
I don't like that it's set on Earth. Like, same thing with Close Encounters.
Close Encounters,
right?
Yep.
It's just, it's too Earth.
Yeah.
I don't mind Arrival. If you're on a planet. Yeah, Arrival's the same thing. It's like you're set on.
Those are alien movies.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tough. I mean, two of my favorite. I think that's the two first DVDs I ever owned. Because let's remember here, Star Wars did not go on DVD for a long time, so that's very important here. I think two of the first DVDs I ever owned were space movies, and that would be Planet of the Apes from Tim Burton. My parents, they did love me despite me saying that out loud. And then Lost in Space, which I did just get on Arrow Video with Matt LeBlanc. The Matt LeBlanc Lost in
Space. The William Hurt one?
To grow up in a household that watched Friends, The Nanny, and Seinfeld religiously, to see Matt LeBlanc with a big gun. And one of the cooler practical effects in any space movie, by the way. They did that helmet. The helmet that comes down on Matt LeBlanc's face. That was all like stop motion animation. To see Joey from Friends with a gun was just unbelievable. What a stupid movie. What a cast, though. That cast was
Heather
stacked.
Graham's Heather Graham? Right?
Mimi Rogers, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, crazy stack. Lacey Chabert's in that movie.
Yeah, right.
She plays the daughter. Yeah, crazy movie.
Gravity and Rogue One, I think both could have gotten a place on this list.
Yeah.
So I don't love Gravity. I
like Rogue One, though. I will say, people have said that Andor makes Rogue One better. I think I like Rogue One a little less after Andor because I'm like, this is just so much better than Rogue One.
Yeah.
Gravity, I've never been a huge fan of. I was always pumped that Gravity didn't win Best Picture. That always made me very happy that it didn't win Best Picture.
I think it's thrilling.
I've never really Gravity's really good, it's a good movie, but I never.
It's definitely a space movie too. That's like if we were talking about like the definition of a space movie, Gravity's definitely up there.
Starship Troopers, I had.
I love Starship Troopers.
I'm a fan of, but yeah,
love Starship Troopers.
Didn't quite make the cut for me, but yeah.
Did anybody have Sunshine?
Sunshine.
That is the movie that, like, if they went darker with Project Hail Mary, that is Sunshine. If you like Project Hail Mary, wanted something darker, watch Sunshine.
And that cast is crazy too. Call. Like you got Cillian Murphy, Hiroyuki Sonata, Chris Evans, Michelle Yeoh, Benedict.
Viola Davis.
No, I don't think so. Unless I'm forgetting. No. Like, it's a crazy crew on that. And no,
then we'll get a couple of Solaris. No Armageddon.
Yeah, not my
favorite. That.
No Diane Warren's Armageddon. We did not. I will say we didn't talk. We talked off the Oscars to the point of exhaustion last week. But since you're back, Kirk, I will mention. Mm-hmm. I know you were gutted. 0-17 for our.
Yep. I've watched that documentary 10 times. The one about her that she was nominated for. So I was bummed out that after the Flamin' Cheetos film.
I didn't end up reading it last week. But David Ehrlich had a very good tweet about Diane Warren, where he just said, I think we need to take a moment to appreciate that Diane Warren's awful nominated song this year is from a documentary about how Diane Warren loves the Oscars for awful nominated songs every year.
Yeah.
What a legend. She'll be back again.
Oh, definitely.
The 18th time is the charm.
Absolutely.
Dude, do you think she sends emails to like Christopher Nolan and like, she's like, hey,
yeah, why not? You never know.
That's the key. That's how you get in. That is how you win this, Diane.
Nobody in the history of Hollywood works whatever quadrant votes for them better than she does, though. Because she has some block. She gets nominated every year. I don't know how, but she's got some group.
She throws great parties, Kirk.
Yeah,
great
she must.
Parties.
Diane Warren getting nominated every year is why Dune 3 will never win Best Picture. Because there's no way that whoever votes for her would ever vote for Dune 3.
The fact that person exists, yeah, I get that.
I don't follow that.
I probably have up here too? I'd have Event Horizon probably on
the song pool so much smaller, though.
Event Horizon's wild. Wild.
I love her.
I think you have older members of the Academy, you have this weird block that I think just dismisses, and especially if it's ranked voting for the best picture.
I think she can win. She could win this award if she kind of let her... she'd have to do an ironic thing. She'd have to be picked up by like a director like Jordan Peele or someone who puts it like ironically in his movie. Like if she like really sold out and like went for it and was like find me like a movie that could use it in a way that is almost making fun of the song. That's how she would win. I think it's the only way she could ever win.
Problem is like songs like that just are not in movies anymore.
No, they're all in credit songs. They're
it's an art form.
It would have to be like Ooh. Used in a way that is probably making fun of it. For she should have won for Armageddon, if we're being fair. But
Judd Apatow, upcoming country music star comedy starring Glenn Powell.
Yep. No, there it is.
There it is.
How did she not write a song for the? I know it was all Neil Diamond songs, but how did she not write a song for that movie? That is like,
come on, that was a good movie.
I wish that card fucking backed up again and just ran her over 20 times. Just,
you didn't like that movie?
No, it was fine, but like I don't like movies where guys are in the hospital doing the like it's just stupid.
All right, that
was fucking stupid. It was just stupid. But that's a clever movie. That's a clever.
That is
really go over every movie over the last 4 months that I saw, but yeah,
that's fine. But I did enjoy that very much.
Yeah.
You all want to hear the fans' top 10 space movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, number 1, Empire Strikes Back, right in line with them. 2, Interstellar. 3, A New Hope. 4, Alien. 5, Aliens. 6, 2001. 7, The Right Stuff. 8, Return of the Jedi. 9, The Martian. And then 10, Rogue One.
Yeah, The Right Stuff doesn't really qualify, I don't think. But
I could take it off.
No,
next up would be, I don't even
know. No, it's fine being on the list. I'm just saying the way we did it, I don't think of The Right Stuff. It's more about the process. It's great.
Probably could have had like Apollo 13 maybe, but... I'm not like over the moon over it. No, no pun intended.
I think would Contact have been a space movie? I like that movie.
No. That's also Arrival, and
that's fair.
Yeah, it's process. It's all
I do love that movie though.
Me too.
Hey y'all, it's Gooch. Congratulations on making it this far into Project Big Screen episode 25. You just heard our fan rankings, and if you're not a part of them and want to be. It's very simple. All I need you to do is answer this question, comment below whether you're listening on Spotify or watching on YouTube. In honor of Rocky, what is the greatest movie creature of all time? Comment that answer below with your letterboxed handle, and we will follow you from the Project Big Screen account. That is how we compile all of our scores for our fan rankings. It's super, super simple. All you got to do, comment that below, and we'll get it taken care of. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Make sure if you're not already subscribed, at least in our podcast feed, subscribed on YouTube, all that stuff makes a huge, huge difference for us. All right, now back to the show.
All right, that's it. Fun movie to talk about. It's fun talking about big movies. It really is. And so on that note, next week, Ready or Not 2, which by the way, I'm not even saying it right. It's not Ready or Not 2. They couldn't decide what to do, so they just went with both. They went Ready or Not 2, Here I Come. One of the worst titles of a movie I've ever heard. It's one or the other.
We also have a twin movie situation, because They Will Kill You is out next weekend, which is the same exact thing.
Yes, it's crazy how that works. And then we'll also review, there's a streaming movie next week, which we will review, which has like a decent enough cast that I think we'll give it a chance. And that is Mike and Nick and Alice, starring Vince Vaughn, James Marsden, Isaac Gonzalez, Jimmy Tatro, Ben Schwartz, and yeah, that's it. I think Vince Vaughn plays two characters.
Yeah, what a cast! Yeah. Wow,
time travel.
Incredible. Directed by Ben David Grabinski.
The last movie he did, I liked. I forget what was it.
We'll review those movies. That is it. As always, like and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. We will talk to you next time.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
Stella Blue coffee ready-to-drink can lattes are officially available nationwide at Target. That's right. whether you're making a Target run for toothpaste, paper towels, or somehow spending $200 on things you didn't know you needed, stop by the coffee section and see why everyone is turning to Stella Blue. The cans are made with 100% Colombian coffee, real dairy, real sugar, and contain 190 milligrams of caffeine. They've got dessert-level flavor with coffee-level function. You can choose from espresso, sweet cream, or espresso cafe mocha. And once you try them, you'll understand why they're the best canned lattes out there. Here's the best part. 100% of proceeds will go toward our We Brew to Rescue mission, in which we're funding the adoption of 1,000 pets across the country. Grab a Stella Blue at Target, taste the difference, and make a difference. Stella Blue Coffee.